Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. While they were singing, I was thinking that girl in the red scarf, man, some lucky guy, man. I don't know. Luke chapter 1. Let's read from verse 26. I'm going to read to 38. So if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one in your hand. I guess as you guys are trying to find the passage, let me just say a few words about the Inner Healing Conference. The first weekend is going to be here at church, right? So it's going to be open for the whole church. The week after that, they're staying here for 2 weeks. From that Monday, I think that's Feb 1, until the 6th, is actually a special training time. Just for people that want to learn more, but it's closed to about 20 people, okay? And so you need to come every night, right? So if you can't even come one night, then give up your space to somebody else. And so we're trying to get pretty serious about this. So it's going to run Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday all day, okay? And that's going to be the kind of training time. There's going to be a lot of hands-on kind of stuff. And if you would like to receive inner healing, you can come during one of the... You're going to be like the guinea pig, right? So they'll do it on you, and then everyone can see all your issues, right, and stuff. But it's the best way to get healed, right? And so you can talk to me about that as well. So please send me an email or talk to me. And there's actually a short application process, okay, just so we know. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, one of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring should be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord shall be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for, Lord, just beautiful words, God, that came out of our kids, Lord, as they praise you and celebrated, God, the fact that you came to this earth, God. And we thank you for our adults, God, who sang with such skill, God, and beauty, Lord, to celebrate, God, your coming here to earth as well. And Lord, and we come together as a church body, God, and we ask you to speak to us now, Lord. We ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, God. I humble myself, Lord, and ask you to use me today. We love you, God. We bless you. Lord, in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The title of the message here is called Merry Christmas, and it's M-A-R-Y, right? I was trying to be a little clever, so it's not M-E-R, right? It's Merry Christmas. We're talking about Mary a little bit. But these are the words that always seem to bring some kind of response. And some of you guys may have heard it before, maybe you've been a part of it, but the words, "I'm pregnant." You know, I remember the first time I heard those words that, you know, when Lisa said, "I'm pregnant," you know, it brought a wave of emotions. One, obviously, was incredible joy. You know, just thinking, wow, you know, we finally did it. You know, we created something. Well, we will create something in 9 months, you know. Or actually, by then, probably about 8 months. You know, and but also, there was also a sense of just awesome wonder. And also a sense of incredible fear. You know, just thinking, oh my goodness. You know, we're going to have to actually take care of this baby when it comes. And many of us, you know, have been part of that. We've experienced that. But sometimes the words, "I'm pregnant," can draw a different kind of reaction. Sometimes when the woman is quite old, you know, it brings fear. Sometimes when there's a lot of financial instability, it also brings fear. Sometimes people get angry when they hear the words, I'm pregnant. It could have been unplanned, or maybe they've already had 5 kids and now a 6th one is going to drive the father crazy, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, or the relationship is in such a bad state, you know, that the phrase, I'm pregnant, right, is not news for joy, you know, or anything of that matter, but actually anger. You know, you think of teenagers, you know, who get pregnant, and, you know, the kind of fear and the anger and all kinds of things that happen, you know, through their lives. There's such different ranges of response, you know, when we talk about these things, you know, these words, I'm pregnant. I remember before Lisa, before this, when people told me, and friends of mine that said they were pregnant, my initial reaction was, wow, that's great. But my inside reaction was, why not me? You know, why you? You know, the question of, you know, same things. Like, you know, my brother got married, I think, 4 years before I did. My younger brother got married 4 years before I did. And so by the time we got married, he already had 2 kids, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, hearing the, you know, those words, oh, you know, we're pregnant, you know, kind of thing. And at first it was kind of like, good for you, right? But not so good for me. And I knew all the questions and all these things that would become my way. And so there's many different responses. I want to say this, pregnancy is the ultimate spiritual analogy. It really is. And I'm going to unpack this for us a little bit today. Everything in life is like pregnancy. Okay? And so today, in some ways, I not only want to impregnate you with the Word of God, right? But I want the Lord to impregnate you with His presence. And so why don't we, as a tradition, why don't we turn to our neighbor, left and right, or left or right, and just look into the eye and say, hey, good looking, God wants to impregnate you today. Right? Pregnancy really is the ultimate reality. It's the analogy. Now, as in pregnancy, everything in life starts with a possibility and proceeds to reality. Right? Do you remember, you know, I mean, I had all very specific ways of how I was going to raise my kids, you know. I mean, I just knew that there were certain things that I was going to be different than other parents and whatnot. It literally lasted for about 20 days, right? You know, and all the books that we read and all those things got tossed aside. Because there's so much possibilities. You know, and you think about this. When you met Jesus Christ, there may have been all different kinds of possibilities. You know, you may have thought of all the different things that you were going to do for God and what God was going to do for you. But then what happened was reality. Right? And that's this analogy. You know, the pattern of conception to delivery is rooted in the founding fundamentals of God's operational order of things. And always remember, life is always a miracle. It's always a miracle. I remember the first ultrasound that we went to, and we were so excited. You know, we did the pregnancy. Actually, we found out that Lisa was pregnant when we were in Japan. And we were up, you know, by Mount Fuji with some old church members of SP, and we were hanging out with them, hanging on vacation. And then during this wonderful Japanese meal, gourmet meal, my wife threw up, you know. And our friends actually, you know, I had a few kids already, and they knew. They were like, oh, you know. And so when she walked out to the bathroom, you know, our friend Paul turned over to me and says, hey, man, I think she's pregnant. You know, and I was like, really? Are you kidding me? You know, and I didn't want to believe it. And so we came home from Tokyo, and, you know, I went immediately that morning, man, because we flew in late Saturday night. So Sunday morning, I went to the drugstore, even before it was open, right? And I picked up the pregnancy test, and we had the test, and sure enough, we found out. But see, for me, right, I mean, it's just a white tab, and the colors change. It doesn't mean anything, right? You know, some of you single people are like, what is this guy talking about, right? Trust me, you'll know soon. You know, but I wanted to, you know, I'm one of those guys, I'll see it to believe it. And so we went to our first ultrasound. It was Dr. Lowe in Central. And Dr. Lowe, took us aside, and we went to the room and, you know, put some gel on the stomach and started, you know, doing this thing with the ultrasound. And then he was kind of trying to find it, and he couldn't find it for a while. And then he found it, right? And he looked over and he says, Sam, you got to come over here. Take a look at this. And so I looked over, and he goes, there it is. I go, what? He says, there it is. You know, don't you see it? And I said, all I see is this fuzzy spot, you know. And he says, that's it. You know, and then he kind of did a little magic with the ultrasound a little bit more. And then he told me to get a closer look. And I saw the most amazing thing. This little thing go, doot, 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 doot. And this fuzzy little spot had a heartbeat. And you know the rest of the story. That fuzzy little spot was Elise. You know, I'm telling you, life is a miracle. You know, just thinking about it and just going through. And we went through that process twice, and hopefully we'll go through it another time. You know, but it is miraculous. You know, to go from that little, you know, that little color change in the little tube, you know, and then you go to the ultrasound and you see this little, I mean, it's like this faintest, it's like a flicker, you know, and all the parents know what I'm talking about, right? But it's this fuzzy thing. You don't even know what it is, but you see it's this flicker that comes and the doctor says it's the heartbeat. Man, miraculous. And then it grows and, you know, in those, you know, 9 months into this beautiful baby. And, you know, now she's 4 years old and, you know, outsmarting me in our conversations. And I mean, it's just amazing. Life is a miracle. You know, don't ever forget that. You know, and today I want to talk about Mary a little bit. I know as Protestants, right, if you guys don't know what that term means, it's the church, the universal church was a Catholic church. That was the only church at the time, right? And so what happened was, you know, later on there was things going on in the church, and Martin Luther decided that he was going to come out of the church, and so he protested, right? And so thus came, you know, the Protestant movement. And so if you're a Christian and you're not Catholic, then you're a Protestant, okay? And so just to define those terms a little bit. And a lot of times as Protestants, we don't really spend a lot of time talking about Mary. You know, I can't tell you how many sermons, you know, I've been a pastor for like 17 years. I don't know how many sermons I've given on Mary. Probably never. You know, this will probably be the first one, because there's, in some ways, there's an aversion to that. You know, because we don't want to exalt Mary. You know, we don't believe she has that exalted, you know, status. But at the same time, I think in some ways that if we don't appreciate who Mary is and who she was, we'll miss out on a lot of God's truth. You know, she is someone to be esteemed. You know, even, you know, during the worship time today and the whole time this morning and even, you know, we came a little early because of kids and, you know, you guys, you know, we moved to a new office. Right. And so we finally, it's not three of us stuck in, you know, like 100-square-foot room anymore. We're actually downstairs on the fourth floor. And so I have my own little office. And it was nice to come into the office and just pray and get even more ready for the sermon. And while I was there this morning on the fourth floor, you know, I was praying. I was saying, God, give me a glimpse of Mary. You know, as I knew I was going to preach on this, let me feel what it's like. And so I felt like during worship, God really ministered to me. And just imagine, you know, you're this little teenage girl. You know, and the Holy Spirit comes and impregnates you, right? And you know that your son is going to be the Savior of the earth. You know, and then you go through your life and, you know, and you know eventually that the son of yours is going to hang on a cross, you know, totally, totally forsaken by men. I mean, that's an exalted position. You know, Mary is someone to be esteemed, not someone to be worshipped, right? But someone to be esteemed, you know? And so we want to talk about Mary a little bit, but using this as a background, you know, for anything else. You know, Mary, after she gets this announcement from the angel, she sings this song, right? It's in many of your Bibles, it's called a Magnificat, and it's this song of worship that comes out of her. In verse 48 of this, and it's the same chapter of Luke 1, in 48 he says, "For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Now, this verse is many times very frequently misunderstood. And when Mary is saying this, you know, some have taken this to mean that Mary is to be esteemed above all things. Right? Now, again, there is an unusual and exalted place Mary was given simply by the fact that she bore, right, the Christ child through her. Yet there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that she is to be esteemed, praised, or acknowledged as a mediator between God and the Lord. 1 Timothy makes it very clear. It says, "There is only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." Right? And so we esteem her, but we don't exalt her. Right? We don't give her, you know, that place of worship. But if you say less about Mary than what the Bible says, then you can miss out on one of the most profound revelations of scriptures, right? And foundational to everything that the Lord would have us to understand about his coming and becoming incarnate within us, which is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the Greek word blessed that she uses here, it's the makarezo. is using this text isn't the word that's synonymous with praise or exaltation. That's the word eulogio, which we get the word eulogy from. And so Mary is not saying that she is to be praised, right? Which some parts of the church, you know, would say, no, the word is very different. And this word, this simply means, it's a simple word meaning joy and happiness to every believer who will heed the Lord's way. You know, in the Beatitudes, when it writes in Matthew, and he says, blessed are those, that's the word matarazo. It's not talking about praise. In other words, those people are not supposed to be praised. They're blessed. In other words, they're full of joy. You know, and so I'll give you the context of what those words mean. Right? Mary is saying that she is happy. That's what she's talking about. She's saying she's happy because the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 happened to her. And what happened to Mary is a prototype for all of us. Okay, I had to do a little bit of a theological background just to make sure that we're not, you know, messing up on Mary a little bit. Okay, now the word she says is successive generations, including ours right now, are within God's intended purpose to recognize that Mary is a prototype or a model of the kind of happy thing that God wants every single one of us to experience. Now, what happened to Mary was biological. You know, I mean, she got stretch marks, you know, she gained weight, you know, her feet got big, you know, all those kind of things that you ladies can look forward to, you know, later on, right? And all those things happen. It's biological. She literally was impregnated with a baby. The parallel, as it bears on us, is the coming of Jesus into our lives, not necessarily into our womb, but into our hearts, right? And this is what I really want to say. I want to tell you, there is a miracle inside of each one of us today that God wants to bring forth, right? I mean, you know, today is going to be a very simple message. I knew there was a lot of stuff in there, so I try to keep it short, right? Let's see if I keep to my word, you know. But there is a miracle inside of every single one of you today, right now, that God wants to bring about, right? In this lifetime, in this time. You know, God's redemptive promise was brought to her to grow in her, to be delivered through her, and to change the world around her. I have four simple points here. His promise. God wants, number one, to enter your life. God wants to, number two, He wants to grow inside of you. Number three, God wants to happen through you. And then God wants to change the world around you. So let's look at number one. God wants to enter your life. Jesus entering into you. Now, when we say that Jesus Christ wants to enter your life, what we're saying is that Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Jesus wants to be your life. Jesus wants to be your source. Jesus wants to be your strength. You know, Jesus wants to be the one that you look to when you're in trouble. When we say, Jesus, enter my life, what we're saying is that, Lord, we're going to include you in our life. We're going to include you in our decisions. We're going to include you in our lifestyle. We're going to include you, like in some of the poems say, we're going to include you in every conversation. You know, we're going to include you in our family. You know, and everything that we do, Lord, that you're going to be a part of. That's what it means when we say, Jesus, enter into our life. You know, we're saying that Jesus, we want you to be an active participator and not just merely a spectator. Can I say this to you guys? Some of you have been going to church for a while, and Jesus is still a spectator in your life, right? Because He's everywhere. He's always watching you, but He has not become the active participant in our life yet. And can I challenge you today that you'd welcome Him into your life, right? Not just to watch you and you know, just stand in the sidelines, but to be actively involved in your life because He's the source. God wants to bless you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to help you in those difficult, difficult decisions. And He wants to make your path straight. That's what the Lord offers to every single one of us. Now, some of us, you know, have never asked Jesus to come into our lives. Maybe you should consider that today. Maybe that you should consider that, yes, Jesus Christ came to the earth. He came to this world to save people just like us. No, none of us here is perfect. Right? And, you know, even the Christian, as a pastor, we're not saying that we're perfect, right? But there comes a time when we need to seek after something that's beyond ourselves. You know, we lived our life in such a way, you know, we've gotten thus far. You know, now there's something inside of us says, you know what? Maybe there's another path that I should be taking. You know, maybe there's another direction that I should go by. You know, and Jesus Christ came to save us. You know, I love his name, Emmanuel. That's why we named Emma. Emma is actually Emmanuel, right? But I didn't want to write it all out, right? You know, it's just too long. You know, all the passport stuff. So we just kept it Emma, but it's because it just simply means God is with us. You know, and I want to tell you, friends, that you that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you that have not, that God is always with you, that He's always around you. And if you've not let Him into your heart, then He's just spectating, right? And if you've asked Him to come in, then He's participating. You know, and that makes the world of difference. You know, but some of us here that we've already received Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, but at this Christmas time, let me ask you, are you consciously opening up to a new dimension of Jesus in your life? You know, at some point in our spiritual life, we recognize that, man, there is so much more that God has in store. You know what I mean? You know, I remember, you know, early in my Christian life, and even now, you know, as you go through one adventure with God and you think, wow, God, this is the pinnacle, this is the fullness. You know, and then you turn a corner and God's got so much more for you. Remember what the Bible says? He is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. Isn't that wonderful? Right? No matter what we can think of or ask of Him, He's always more. You know, the idea of God in the Scriptures is this incredibly generous, overabundant, spilling over kind of God. And there's always more. And even if you've allowed Jesus to enter into your life, there's so much more of the dimensions of the life of Jesus that He would have you walk in. There's so much more that He would have you experience. You know, and it's real simple. Are you willing to want more of His kingdom in you? You know, if you let Him in, man, it's going to be the adventure of your life. Because Jesus wants you to experience so much more of Him than you've ever experienced before. And let this Christmas be that time. So Jesus, God wants to enter your life, right? Just in pregnancy. Number two, Jesus growing in me. He wants to grow inside of us. Now, you know, I mean, I've never experienced this, but, you know, I've had firsthand, well, I guess it would be secondhand, right, because it's my wife. But sometimes pregnancy is very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, there's things that husbands need to do for their wives during this time, you know, because it's very uncomfortable. You know, things grow I mean, you know, all kinds of things happen. And it's kind of the same thing in a spiritual sense. You know, if Jesus gets inside of you, it's going to stretch you, right? It's you know, just like pregnancy does to woman, it'll change the way you walk. Have you ever seen a pregnant woman walk? You know, that was, you know, kind of walking like this, they kind of look like ducks sometimes, right? Or better words, kind of a penguin, you know, in some ways. But it's very beautiful, you know, when it happens. And so don't mistake what I'm saying, you know. But just like when something is growing inside of someone, it changes the way you walk, you know. And on a spiritual level, that's exactly what happens. It changes the way that we walk. Can I say this to you, right? If you've been a believer for a long time, and you're still doing the same stuff you did when you were a non-believer, right? I don't think Jesus is growing inside of you. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? In other words, your mindset and your lifestyle is just, there's no difference. You know, now you just wear a cross. You know what I mean? And you cut out for a Sunday, you know, a couple of hours of the week, you know, when you can make it, when it fits in your schedule. You know, I would say that I don't think Jesus is growing inside of you. Because like in pregnancy, when Jesus, right, when a baby is inside, something changes, right? The way that we approach life begins to change. You know, the way we behave, you know, it changes. The way you react changes. You know what I mean? Like someone backstabs you or something, you know, the way we react changes. You know, there's things that even, you know, the way we vent anger changes. You know, this is what it means that Jesus grows inside of us. You know, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. But it's worth it. You know, there's some beautiful things happen as a result, you know, of the way we live. And it changes us. You know, let Jesus begin to grow inside of each one of us. You know, and at times it may not look pretty, but life will become all that God has intended for you to become. Right? I mean, that's, you want what God wants, or do you want what you want? I'll tell you what, whatever God wants is incredibly, infinitely greater than what you could ever ask for yourself. You know, in the depths of our selfishness or whatever it may be. Right? That's the question. Right? Jesus grows inside of us. Allow him to grow. Give him that space. Lay down certain things, right, that allow him to grow inside of us. God wants to enter your life. He wants to grow inside you. And then number three, he wants to happen through you. Jesus happening through me. Right? Now, the happening through happens in every way that you can think of that's inconvenient. You know, I'm honest. Probably the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life was when Elise came out. Right? I'm telling you, man. There are actually things that I'm forbidden to speak. You know, trust me, my wife will kill me if I share some things. And we've had this talk. There are things I'm forbidden to speak of publicly. You know, because you know my tendency to always share publicly and things. And so this one, I mean, trust me, this, I break this contract, I am dead meat and things. But man, it's you know, the process of giving birth, it's, I mean, yes, it's beautiful, but you don't understand what comes out, man. I mean, just, I'm forbidden to share, right? And stuff, you know, yeah. And many times it's inconvenient. Think about it. For Mary, she wasn't in some nice hospital bed. She was in a pig's trough, right? She was in a barn, you know. I know that, you know, in our Western society, you know, baby was born in a manger. What's a manger? You know what I mean? We have all these flowery words for that. It's a stinking, smelly barn, right, with smelly animals around. Very inconvenient for Mary. You know, and sometimes when life happens through us, when God wants to do things through us, a lot of times it's very inconvenient, you know. Many times it's amazing how many times you're so busy on the way to something when God says, hey, why don't you take a detour here and do this? You know, it becomes so inconvenient. You know, going on mission trips many times is inconvenient. You know, serving the Lord a lot of times is inconvenient. You know, cleaning up on Sunday in the house church, all this stuff, right? Being involved in house church is so inconvenient sometimes. You know, but that's precisely when God moves, right? When he works through us, when it happens through each one of us. You know, sometimes when babies are born, there is a travail that attends birth. It's painful. You know, I was there, you know. I mean, I'll share one story. Yeah, you know, because, you know, we took, like, classes and stuff, and, you know, and when this was happening, you know, the nurses always told us, yeah, the husbands, we have to be very encouraging, you know, and we have to, like, cheer our wives on and remind them to breathe and all those things. And so, you know, I was a good student, right? So I listened really well. And so I think this is when Emma was born, right? And so, you know, I'm in the hospital room, and my wife, you know, what was that big shot that they get? It was kind of wearing off, right? Yeah, the epidural, right? It was kind of wearing off and things. And so she was in pain, and she was squeezing the life out of my hand, right? And then, you know, I was saying, it's okay, honey. You're doing a great job, you know? You're doing really good. Breathe. Right? I'm going through this whole thing, and my beautiful, sainted wife turns to me and says, shut up! Will you just shut up? Leave me alone, right? And stuff. And if you've ever, she never loses her temper, you know? And stuff. But she was in pain. You know, and sometimes when God works through us, you know, sometimes it's painful. We'll have some shut up moments in our life, right? And but you can always repent. And even though she's never asked for my forgiveness yet about that incident, you know, but that's what happens sometimes. It gets a little painful when God wants to work through us. You know, sometimes you say, why can't you just work through someone else? I'm so busy, Lord. You know, don't you know I got this deal going on, and you know, I got so much stuff, and Lord, use someone else. But the simple fact is God wants to use you. He wants to work through you. You know, not because he has some job to accomplish. Remember, right? He's got 2/3 of the angels. At a snap of a finger, they can do the work 1,000 times better than us. Isn't that's true, right? You know, but God wants to work through us.
He wants life to happen through every single one of us. Because when we serve, right, when we give ourselves to Him in that way, something happens to us. You know what I mean? Yes, the job gets done. That's wonderful, right? But don't you know that God is much more interested in you than in the job? Always. He's always been like that. You know, he's not like many of our bosses. You know, He's really interested in us, in our growth. You know, He's interested in our success. That's what God has in store for every single one of us. You know, He wants to work through us. He wants to happen through you. You know, it's not always neat and it's not always easy. But when it happens, such great joy comes. And the outflow of it's mighty. And the impact of your world changes forever. Simply put, God wants to work through you. Ephesians 2:10. All the GICers, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which is prepared beforehand, right, for us to do. Every single one of us. You know, and so He wants to work through our lives. He wants to happen through me. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. He wants to happen through me. Right? God wants to enter your life. He wants to grow inside you. He wants to happen through you. And the last thing, He wants to change the world around you. He wants to change the world around you. Mary welcomed what the Lord wanted to do through her. She became a case study of God making an investment and finding an instrument. He wants a new dimension of the incarnation of His Son living in us. God wants to invest Jesus in us to multiply His life through us and to make us an instrument through which He can touch the world. You know how God's going to touch the world? Through us. You know, I'm really excited. You know, I got an email late last night and this morning from Armanda. And Armanda and John Kang just went into North Korea. And they just came back last night. And the rest of the team had been ministering in the school there. And just God is just really stirring their hearts. You know, Jin, one of the guys that went, he's stationed in Beijing right now. And so he already told them he wants to go back every weekend, you know, while he's in Beijing. God's just touched him, and He's given him such a heart for the North Korean people. You know that in North Korea, they changed their currency right now. And so, you know, some of the people they met in Sunbun, which is the area in the city, you know, they were mentioning that, you know, where before, you know, a certain food was, you know, just a week ago was you know, like I'll use just $3, 3 won, now it's 10. You know, and people in the marketplace don't know what to do with the money. And so they actually have closed down markets because people don't know if they should use the old currency or the new currency and, you know, and just going back and forth. I mean, it's amazing. There's such confusion going on there. You know, but in the midst of that, God is touching individuals, you know, in the world, but even in this church, you know, to really take a stake in what's happening to a group of people. God is going to change the world through you, right? Through me. You know, it's not necessarily God's just going to clap His hand and things are going to be done, but He's going to speak to individuals here. You know, there's a team going to China soon. God's going to change the world through that team, right, that's been ministering, you know. And, you know, we started this relationship with Christian Zhengsheng Association, and I don't know if we made this announcement, but you guys have heard this on the news. The ICAC has totally cleared them, right? And so, you know, all this, you know, garbage that's going on in the media and whatnot, you know, they basically found out it's just some greedy property developer, you know, that wants that property for something else. So it's raising a big fuss and, you know, and all these got friends at South China Morning Post and all these things. And so even though, you know, I mean, remember the Zhengsheng was big news for a while, but then they get cleared by ICAC and there's nothing in the headlines. Like no one knows, you know, and that should be big news and stuff. And you see how this propaganda works out. You know, and so we get involved with them, you know, because one of our guys reads the paper, you know, as a mission board, we're praying, God, how can we bless Hong Kong? And one of our guides ends up reading the paper, and this interview of Allman comes up, and so we start a relationship, and now we've got relationships in China and whatnot. And, you know, I mean, just these simple little seeds that God plants in people, kind of simple circumstance or happenstance that happens, you know, and it stirs people's hearts. You know, so you have someone like Mary who went to Beijing now is committed to the association and giving her time and all these things and people all over. I mean, that's something about that. God wants to change the world through you. You know, don't bypass the little seeds that God drops or the little burdens that we have. you know, as we pray for people. You know, for me, and I told you this before, you know, one of the first times I ever cried for a group of people, you know, I cried for Chinese people. You know, and I don't really have a lot of Chinese friends, you know, so it wasn't like I was close to them. I like Chinese food, you know, and stuff, but, you know, but I'm Korean, you know, and our descendants are Mongolian, right, and stuff. And so, you know, all these things. But I remember I was, even before Hong Kong and all these things, you know, after I gave my life to the Lord, I was sitting in a prayer meeting and we're praying for the nations, you know, in a missions meeting. And as I was praying for the nations, you know, I just saw pictures of Chinese people. You know, I mean, how did I know they're Chinese? I just knew, right? You know, I know we all look the same, but I just knew, right? And so, and these little flashes of these faces were coming up, you know, and I was just, I didn't know, you know, I just started crying. I didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm a grown man. I don't really cry all the time, you know, but as these faces were coming up, you know, and I could just feel God's heartbeat, you know, for the Chinese. You know, and I just begin to cry. And I didn't know. I actually had to go talk to my mentor and says, "Hey, well, what is this, man?" And he said, "God's giving you a burden for people." And I was like, "Really? Wow." And then sure enough, you know, later on, 15 years later, here I am in Hong Kong, you know, ministering to a lot of Chinese people. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Don't lose sight of those little seeds that God puts in your heart. You'd be watching a news program somewhere, you know, and you'll maybe hear about Mongolia or Afghanistan, and you'll be just drawn to the news. You'll read the newspaper, and every time this country comes up, you know, things will become. I have a friend of mine that is just consumed with Azerbaijan. You know, I have no idea, but this guy, every time he prays, "Lord, bless Azerbaijan!" You know, I mean, every time he prays, right, that's the first thing that comes up. "Bless the people in Azerbaijan," right? I didn't even know this country existed, you know, until I went on the map. And God does that to people because he wants to change the world through you, right? Not just your world around here, but the world, the globe. You know, he's going to use us in that way. And so don't toss aside those little things. It's kind of like, you know, little nudges of God. He kind of points your finger at something because he wants to use you to change people. He wants to use you to make people's lives better, right? He wants to use you to see kids healthy. You know, he wants to use you in all sorts of ways, and not just about giving finances. I mean, that's a great way, right? But he wants to use you to physically touch and go and weep and hug and cry and all those wonderful things, right? He's going to use all of us in that way. You know, it's going to be a wonderful thing. He's invested Jesus inside of you, and he's going to multiply that investment, right? Because as far as I believe, God is the greatest banker in the history of the world, right? You know, he's the greatest investment guru in the world. You know, and he's going to do that. He's put that investment in you. He's going to see that investment come through, right? And it's going to be marvelous to this whole world. Now, the word generation that's used here, right, does not always refer to a season of years, but it also refers to a genre of people, right? We talk about the generation. When Mary says, "All generations shall come, right, she'll call me blessed," she's saying, listen carefully, she's saying, there will never be a genre of people who, if they understand what's happened to me, won't look toward this as the possibility of a happy moment for them as well. That's Christmas, right? That's what it means, right? Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's going to use you to change the world around you, right? In Mary, God has raised up an ordinary person. That's what she was. There was nothing spectacular about Mary, right? He had placed the hope of the world in her virgin womb. God has also put something very precious in our hearts to those who trust him, Jesus the Christ. God wants to impregnate you with his son, right? This Christmas season, let's remember why we're celebrating. There's a story. There were these two women. They're having lunch at a very elegant hotel. One of their friends approached them and asked, "What's the occasion for this special meal?" One lady replied, "Oh, we're celebrating the birth of my baby boy." The lady looked and said, "Where is he? Where's the boy?" And the friend said, "Oh, you didn't think I'd bring him along, did you?" Right? It's interesting. This is a picture of what Christmas means to most people on this planet. Right? you know, they don't bring him along. They're celebrating. I mean, there's Christmas trees everywhere, man. You can't turn around in Hong Kong and not see a Christmas tree. Every shopping center has the biggest tree, you know. It's just amazing. What are they celebrating, right? Be mindful during this Christmas season, right, that you're not celebrating emptiness. You know, that the gifts and all those things, don't lose sight of what all it meant, right? It was these three humble guys that came and wanted to offer a gift to their king, right? And that's where it all happened, right? Don't get all crazy and, you know, think you got to buy this luxury item and this kind of thing. Don't spoil, right, the simplicity of the Magi, you know, for this commercial thing that we've let Christmas become. You know, I don't want any of us to think, oh, you didn't think we'd bring them along, did you? Right? That should never be a thought in any of our hearts. Right? Don't be like that. Recognize that God wants to do something special inside of every single one of you. There is a miracle inside of you that God wants to bring forth. Everything you need to succeed is already within you. Let's close our eyes. I am true to my promise today. And let's think about that. Let's think about this analogy. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? For those who accepted Christ, allow more of His presence to permeate every part of who you are. Let your lifestyle change. Let your attitudes change. Let Him grow inside of you. Let Him happen through you. And let Him change the world around you. There may be some of us here that were invited by our friends to hear a message today. And I want to tell you, God brought you here to this place. God used your friend, but He brought you here. And maybe there are some things going on in your life that you don't quite understand. Or maybe you feel a tugging in your heart right now. And you're saying, you know what, I'd like to give this Jesus a try. I don't know everything there is to know about Him. But I know enough to ask Him to come into my life. With all the eyes closed and heads bowed, this is what I want to do. I'm going to scan this room. I'm going to go from my left to the right. And all the eyes are closed and heads are bowed. But if you're in this place and you're saying, you know what? I would like to ask Jesus into my life. As I scan this room and you're one of those people, and you're saying, yes, I want you just to look at me. I want you to open your eyes and just look at me and just acknowledge that you want to respond to this. So I'm going to go from my left here. I'm going to scan the room towards the middle to my right. And just look at me. If you're looking at me, and I see your eye contact, thank you. He's acknowledging that I want to receive Jesus into my life today. Okay, you can close your eyes. Now what the Bible says in Romans, He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then He is the Lord. And so these are the first steps. And so that's what I simply want you to do. In a simple prayer, and you don't have to follow along with me, but in a simple prayer, I just want you to say, Jesus, enter into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And come and be a participator and not a spectator. Now we have some brothers and sisters that pray that prayer today. If a friend brought you today, I want you to tell your friend the decision that you just made. And your friend will help you to take the next steps that we can have Jesus grow inside of us. Maybe you came today on your own, and I want you to come and talk to me afterwards. And I just want to pray for you and bless you and just give you some steps that Jesus can grow inside of you, that this life that you've now entered into will become so full that you would take advantage of everything that God has in store for you. It's like kind of the owner's manual. That's what I'm going to give you today. Thank you, God. Lord, we bless our friends today, Lord, that have made a decision for you. Lord, we pray that you would prosper them, God, and Lord, set them, God, on a place, Lord, that your presence, God, and that your touch can come on their life. Let them know that they know that they know that you live within them. Bless them, Jesus. And for the rest of us, God, Lord, help us to grow during this time, God. Lord, we want you to happen through us, Lord, to change the world around us. So come grow in us, God. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this as we close our service today.
Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my life. Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my home, be my home, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus.
Why don't we grab someone's hand next to us, go across the aisle. Let's pray for the brother and sister on the right and left of us. Let's pray that God would just come in His fullness during this Christmas season. That we would understand the reason why we celebrate. That the Lord would grow inside of us. He'd happen through us. And He'd change the world around us. Let's cover each other right now in prayer. Oh, we thank you.
Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you. We bless you so much, God. Lord, we thank you that you were Emmanuel, God. You came to be with us. Lord, that you came in flesh, God, to dwell among us, God, to live like us, and then to save us, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what Christmas represents, God, that our Savior is born. The hope of the world, God, has come. And help us to righteously celebrate, God, what you've done for each one of us, Lord, by coming to this earth. We ask for your hand to be upon us, God, this whole holiday season, Lord, as we spend time with family and loved ones, God. And especially, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'd be good witnesses, God, to our parents and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, God, that still have yet to find you and know who you are. Speak to them. Reveal yourself to them, God, during this season. Give us words to speak life into their lives, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.